Everybody, let's go. Start off the Parshas Kisav. My birthday was yesterday. That's not a good present. Parshas Kisav. Bahaya Kisav. Ours Hashem. Hashem Alkechen Osin Lachanachlo V'Rishdoch V'Yashav Taba. It will be when you come to the land that Hashem has given you, so that He gave you as an inheritance. You will inherit it, and you will live inside it. Then it goes into a very interesting mitzvah. It's V'Lakachta Me'Rishis Kol Pri Adama. You take from the beginning of the fruits of all the land. Asher Tavi Me'Artecha Asher Hashem Alkechen. You take those first fruits and you put it inside a basket. And you go to the Beis HaMikdash, to the place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts His name upon. Now, last week ended with Parshas Amalek. We know that Amalek did terrible things, and we spoke last week about how to erase the idea of Amalek, that we're not destroying Amalek, we're not killing Amalek. The idea behind Amalek and the idea of Machias Amalek really refers to Amalek can exist, but we want to destroy their ideas. They believe that we don't have to be makir tov to anybody. We don't have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for anything. That we could use basically Bechira in order to choose to not believe in God. That's what Amalek believes in. We have to destroy that idea, to destroy the atheism in the world, to destroy the complacency or the ignorance that people have in the world that we don't have to believe in God or something like that. To destroy that and be able to prove to them that really there is a God from something out there. To become Rav Avigdor Miller. And that's how we're Mocha, the Zechiah of Amalek, the remembrance of Amalek. Learn as much as you can. Learn as much as you can. Now, definitely true, Daniel, without a question. Your idea is not to convince people. Your idea is to be out there, to be able to erase it when it's there. If you can erase it, then good. But if you can't, just be able to, have the ability to erase it in case it's out there. So that's what Amalek was all about. This week, we go right into Arami Oved Avi by Yerid Mitzrayim. Anybody remember what's Arami Oved Avi referring to? Arami Oved Avi is love and Arami. Love and Arami. The word Arami is love and Haramai. And love and Arami. It refers to him, and he's the person that tricked Yaakov, you know, that wanted to destroy my father Yaakov. You know, what's the connection between Amalek, Bikurim, and Lavan? Lavan HaRusha. What's going on over here? And the simple pshat is that they're bad. They're not Makir Tov. And just like Amalek, right? I mean, we can go with Lavan. Lavan wasn't Makir Tov. Yaakov worked for him for how long? 7 years and 7 years, 14 years altogether, and then all of a sudden Yaakov Avinu said, can I have some sheep and whatever, and Lavan, all he wanted to do was cheat him out of things. He wasn't Makir Tov at all to the fact that he just had a worker that brought him up. Not only did he become from poor to rich, not only did he have children, male children, because Yaakov Avinu was in the house, but he married his daughter. You couldn't ask for a greater son-in-law who went into the business without asking for a single penny because of it, and still he wasn't Makir Tov whatsoever, and tried to kill him. That was Lavan. What were you going to say?
I was thinking that the connection with Lavan and Bikurim was that Yaakov didn't want to take Lavan's, you know, Bikurim.
Yeah.
He wanted Rachel, who's not...
Oh, very cool. The Bechor.
So he gave her Leah.
Very cute. Yeah, 100%. But let's go with the Hakar Zatovar. This is a very cute word, but with the Hakar Zatovar, very good. That's and Lavan was all about that, and Amalek is also all about not being Makir Tov. Lavan wasn't Makir Tov. Amalek wasn't about Makir Tov. Bikurim is all about thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what you gave me in the world. The last thing you want to do is when you see the first fruit that comes out of the ground, the last thing you want to do is say, here, God, I'm going to give it all to you. It's the last thing you want to do. You want to say, this is my fruit. The first fruit that I got, that's the one that I want to keep for myself. That's the first thing you should say. Not that you should say, but it's the first thing that does happen. But Hakaras HaTov tells you, go bring those fruits to the Beis HaMikdash. No matter what Lavan thinks, and no matter what Amalek thinks, or whatever it is, you be Makir Tov, and you give it over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the idea behind Bikurim. Different, the exact opposites, really, of what Lavan and Amalek were all about. Now, the Taimim and Hagim brings down on page Ayin Ches, that the whole holiest nitzotzos, the holiest sparks entered inside these fruits, went inside these fruits. Said these fruits were able to grow the quickest, to get up there the quickest. They were the first ones to sprout out from the tree because they had such holy sparks within them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was afraid, says Reb Levi Yitzchak Miberdichev in the Taim Minhagim, that if you would take those fruits and eat them yourself, you would lose those sparks of holiness. Those sparks of holiness would fly out to the world and they'd be completely gone. That's why we got to take them straight to the Kohanim. And we say a little tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we bring it in, we say, Rami Ovidavi, that even though we had so many sparks of Kedusha at the times, we brought in all those tzon. Lavan wanted to take that tzon away from us. He wanted to take all those sheep away from us, the sparks of Kedusha that tzon contained. He wanted to take them all away. We grabbed those nitzotzes and gave it over to Yaakov, you know. Those nitzotzes were given over, and so too we take those nitzotzes from the Bikurim and we give it over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Alright, those are the basic ideas. That's the pshat. I'm sorry?
Swallow the
fruit hole, basically. Now, you don't want to do that either. But let's go into Rav Wolfson. There's many different things that are known as racious in the world. The Beis HaMikdash is known as racious. Eretz Yisrael is known as racious. Yerushalayim is known as racious. Bnei Yisrael are known as racious. Amalek, Adam Arishon, they're all known as racious. And Bikurim is racious called Pri Adama. It's known as racious. What's the connection between all these things? The idea is supposed to be that Elul is the preparation for the racious, Rosh Hashanah. The preparation for getting into Rosh Hashanah. Says Rav Wolfson, an unbelievable thing, that Binyan Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael, everything is all Tikkun Chet Adam Arishon. Adam Arishon was the first racious. When did Adam Arishon sin? On what day? On Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. On Rosh Hashanah. Thus, on Rosh Hashanah, we're supposed to do a Tikkun form. We're supposed to bring everything back up to prove that there's a racious. So Bnei Yisrael would bring Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash around the times of Rosh Hashanah, and thus we would have the racious fixed up for Adam Arishon, who he himself, what fruit did he eat? According to some opinions, was a grape or wheat. Or it was a ta'ina, a fig, or an esrog was the final one. The esrog is the only one that you're not chayiv in Bikurim. So the other three, you definitely have Bikurim. Esrog is the only thing that you're not chayiv of medial rice to bring Bikurim.
How come we don't fast on this day then?
To have a peros.
How come we don't fast on this day because of what he did?
It's not a bad idea to fast. It is brought down lehalacha that they used to fast on Rosh Hashanah. They used to even have simcha. Rabbi Kohn had a whole shiur last year exactly on that point. What did they do on Rosh Hashanah that there was an idea of fasting? It was such a scary day for them. And then later on they decided to make it into a simcha holiday, and we have sort of like the in-between where we fast half the day and we eat the rest of the day. We have that idea where both of those things come along. Regardless, that's the idea of the parshios and Elul. It's an unbelievable word. In Shoftim, there are four things that we're supposed to do when we go into Eretz Yisrael that prepare us for Mashiach. One is supposed to stand up a king, supposed to be Mocha Amalek, destroy Amalek. After Amalek, we're supposed to build up the Beis HaMikdash. And after building up the Beis HaMikdash, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Kovetz the Gullies. He'll gather in all the exiles, and we're supposed to all come back to Eretz Yisrael. Says Rav Wolfson, all four referring to Parshios in Elul. Shoftim is Parshios HaMelech. Parshios HaMelech is in Parshios Shoftim. And Kisetze is Amalek. That's at the end of Parshios Kisetze. Kisavo is the Bikurim that are brought to the Beis HaMikdash, the Rashis of the Beis HaMikdash. And then all of a sudden comes Nitzavim. Nitzavim is standing up, gathering gather everyone together in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Kibbutz Gullius is supposed to be during that time, during Nitzavim. That is, by the way, why we start off on Rosh Hashanah, Shira Malos Mimama Kim. Mimama Kim stands for Melech Mechias Amalek Mikdash, and then Kibbutz Yisrael Me'a'amin. That's what it stands for. That's Mimama Kim. Yeah.
So is HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to give us the Beis HaMikdash after Parshas Nitzavim?
It's a very, not literally after Parshas Nitzavim. It's supposed to be like a preparatory sort of a thing, where first we have to send up the king, then we're supposed to get a Malik, then we're supposed to have the Beis HaMikdash, and then a Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be Kovetz Gullius. It's nothing to do with when the time of the year is, but that's our preparations to come into Rosh Hashanah to be able to think that way. Now, there are many questions by Bikurim. Number one, I'm going to say very quickly, why Dafka to the Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash? Why do you only have to give it to him there? Number two, why do we read Arami Oved Avi? Why do we read that all together? Number three, Me'artzecha, it's got to be from your land. What if you bought the land, and you bought the land with fruits on it? No, you don't bring Bikurim. If you bought Bikurim, you don't have to bring them to the Beis HaMikdash. No chiyuv to bring them to the Beis HaMikdash. It's got to be Dafka from your land. What's the deal with all that? Those three main questions over here. So we know that Adam was born Rosh Hashanah. He caused Misa to come into the world. Now, Misa is not only death. Misa means, according to Rav Wolfson, and you can hear this straight out, things getting stale and old. Things getting moldy and forgetting about things. And saying like shechcha, forgetfulness. And saying like, you know what, I'm bored. I don't want to do this anymore. Pure boredom came into the world when Adam Rishon sinned and brought Misa into the world. Because what's death all about? That is the final boredom. Where you're so bored, you're bored stiff. There's not much else you can do. You're sitting there and you're like, you couldn't be more bored or more boring for that point. I mean, there's nothing else you can do.
How about you for the Torah?
You can
learn all that.
You have to, I think you can answer that question on your own, so I'm not going to answer that. But either way, the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be Arashis. Arashis means something that is always considered like brand new. Arashis is always first. Something that never grows old. Something never that you get bored in. When you sit in the Beis HaMikdash and you're there, there's only great stuff happening. Only crazy stuff happening. You're sitting there like, wow, this is all new. Whenever you daven in the Beis HaMikdash, it always feels like it's a brand new davening. Now, I personally have never had the chance, but I can imagine that davening at the Kotel after a while gets boring. You get bored after a while. I can imagine that if you did it every day for, let's say, 150 days straight,
eventually it does.
I can imagine. Like, eventually, you're just like, okay, I'm sitting at the Kotel again. The difference between the Kotel on the outside of the Beis HaMikdash to the inside of the Beis HaMikdash, we don't have Shabbos every day. That's part of the point. But doing it every single day can get boring. The idea is supposed to be no. When you're inside the Beis HaMikdash, every day it seems like a brand new day. Like, I've never done this before. Inside the Beis HaMikdash, it never gets old. That's the idea behind the lechem upon him never got stale, that it never was able to get stale, that anything inside the Beis HaMikdash is oracious, supposed to be something brand new, that it's never going to get bad. That's why when we're trying to fix up what Adam Rishon had, we got to do what David HaMelech and Yaakov Avinu did. David HaMelech and Yaakov Avinu were both nitzutzos, they were sparks from the holy neshama of Adam Rishon. Both of them never slept. David HaMelech, we know, slept the sleep of a horse. He barely slept. He slept like going to sleep like that, but he never really slept. And then he kept like going up and grabbing himself and waking himself up and going up. He wanted to knock out death. And so too, Yaakov Avinu, he never slept when he was learning in Yeshiva Shem Be'Aver. The first place he slept was where? The Makom HaMikdash. And in the Makom HaMikdash, Vayomer, he was so afraid. He said, "Oh, Manora Makom HaZeh. If I would have known that I was sleeping in such a place, I never would have done so. I never would have gone to sleep in this place. Even for a second, I wouldn't have gone. Because there's no such thing as Yeshenas of getting old and death anywhere near the Beis HaMikdash. Yeshen and Shina and sleep is supposed to be that 60th of death. That's supposed to be that 1/60th of death. Now, the idea behind a Malik, is a Malik goes up against our newness and says, you consider our brand new, you go up against the racious, and he goes and he takes you and he says, be bored. I want you to get bored. It says, Asher Korcha Baderech, that met you on the road. Korcha is a lesson of kar. He cooled it off for you. Stop being so warm. Stop being so hot. Stop getting so into the learning that you're sitting and you don't realize that it's 15 degrees outside or negative 20 degrees outside in the base medrash in the morning. Forget, be warm. Amalek comes along and cools you down, like blows on you and says, cool yourself down. Calm down. Listen, buddy. There's other stuff in the world and tries to get you to be bored with Torah. Tries to get you all bored and like, oh, can't do this anymore and close it up and try to do something else. Tries to make you bored. That's the idea behind a Malik. And Lavan did the exact same thing. He wanted to give to Yaakov Avinu the old and weak sheep. The older and weak sheep that Lavan would give to Yaakov all the his darkness, the his yashness that there is in the world, so that Yaakov Avinu would be bored. He wouldn't be able to learn Torah. And Yaakov Avinu was the man of Torah. The man of Torah. So that Torah would be boring for them. That was the idea. So what we do is if in those Bikurim, Bikurim are what? Arashis, the first fruits that come out. Because they're the first fruits, they're the most exciting fruits. Look at the farmer when he first sees the fruits coming out. He's excited. He can't wait. By the end of the season, he's like, yeah, whatever, another fruit. Then it's already like, whatever. You know, it's just another thing out there. But in the beginning of the season, wow, it's my first fruits. He's so excited. That, if you eat those Bikurim, you'll get within you a tremendous amount of Zrizus. A tremendous amount of, I want to do this. I want to start running. You'll be able to run. I don't know if anybody's tried having Bikurim right before a marathon, but I would suggest it. If you would go right before a marathon to really go and have Bikurim, to get yourself more excited, to get yourself more into it, it'll work. Because there's stuff inside there that makes it go, that like Reb Levi Yitzchak said, there's Kedusha inside there that makes it grow quicker. That's something that you can eat and immediately you'd have it. I'm sorry, even from that.
Even from wheat.
So very good. Very, very good. When you go ahead, you can go ahead and fill yourself up with those carbos and etc. What those people can do is have those Bikurim, but Hashem Kadosh Baruch Hu is afraid. There's so much Kedusha in that fruit. What if you misuse it? What if you mess up? What if you do something wrong with it? Well, you don't want to ruin that Bikurim. Look at what a chance you have to gain from that Bikurim. We don't want you to ruin that. We don't want you to end up with nothing. So what we say to you is, take those Bikurim and give it over to the Beis HaMikdash. And not just to anybody, to the Kohanim. What do we say about the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash? Quantum Zrizenhain. They're full of Zrizas. Those people are the perfect people to give it to. And just like a regular korban, what happens by a korban? How do I get a kapara by bringing a korban and giving it to the kohen? The quantum eat it, and the bilam are mischaper. So too, the kohanim have the bikurim, they eat the bikurim, and the bilam end up getting Zrizas from it. That's the perfect way to get rid of the bikurim in order to give it over. And where do we bring it? To the base of Mikdash. Around what time? The time of Zrizas, the time of Rosh Hashanah. The beginning of the year is always the time when everybody has these, and like, like New Year's Eve, you know, and everybody makes like, I'm going to do this, and they have a whole list of all these things. What do they call New Year's resolutions? In a Rosh Hashanah, you have this whole list of what you want to do and this and whatever. The idea about Rosh Hashanah is let it be new our entire time. Let it be new so that it doesn't get boring after a while. New Year's resolutions are usually gone by 11:48 a.m. On the 2nd of January. They're usually gone by then. Let it stay new the entire time. That's the idea behind it. But Amalek was against it, and Lavan was against it. But hopefully, our newfound Zrizus will be able to go right back up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring Zrizus right back down to us. And that's Be'ito Achi Shana. Now, there are two ways for Mashiach to come. Mashiach will either come Be'ito, in his proper time, or Achi Shana. He'll hurry him along. If we show Zrizus, if we show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we really want to learn, and we run the learning, we run the davening, we run to do the mitzvahs that we know we're supposed to do, then all of a sudden HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, well, if they're running, I'll run. And I'll make it Kielu. I'll make it run for them so that they get the Mashiach as soon as possible. So I do that Zrizus to bring about Mashiach for them as soon as possible. And that's the reason why the Medrash says on this Parsha, it says about Bikurim, Asei mitzvah zu. Do this mitzvah of Bikurim, Shebishvila Tikonis L'Eretz Yisrael. Because of it, you'll go to Eretz Yisrael. What's the pshat behind it? Because you have the Zrizus. Bikurim is all about Zrizus. If you do that, then all of a sudden you'll be able to go inside Eretz Yisrael because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be the Mashiach and everything's going to be okay. Very, very good board. Very good board. But it connects. How much is a sleep of death? Sleep is what of death? How much? 1/60th. Very good, right? Do you know how much you're supposed to give on Bikurim? How much of the fruits? 1/60th of Bikurim. You know what we learn that from? Everybody learns that out from this word over here. They learn it out from Besamtova Tene. You put it in the Tene in Pasuk Beis. Tene is Tes, Nun, and Aleph. Gematria 60, right? So everybody asks, but why did you need the word Tene? You could have used the word Kli. Kli is also the Gematria of 60. And Tene just means Kli. There's no difference between a basket and a kli. And technically, a sal also has the letter samach inside it. You also could have used the word sal. Why are we using the word ten over any other word? Says the Chassam Sofer, such an unbelievable word. You can also add on trump when you do gemashras. Now, every trump has a different thing. A chirik, meaning a little guy, is a little yud. A shva is two yuds. A patach is a vav. A komat is a vav and a yud. Vav and a yud. So if you would have done kli, what did you end up with? You have a shva and a chirik. So that's 10, 10, and 10. How much is that?
30
altogether, right? So that's nice. But if you have tene, there's segel, segel. How much is that? 30 and 30, which is 60 also. 60 plus 60 is 120. Says the Chassam Sofer, in order to bring about Zrizus for the rest of your life, put it in a tene. Put everything inside that tene. In the basket specifically, let your entire life, 120,
segel's
three altogether. So you have 120 years full of that Zrizus. 120 years full of that Zrizus. And why 60 and 60? Why divide it up that way? That's where they learn the idea of it's got to be a 60th. Because 60 is repeated twice within that word to be able to tell you that it must be something behind it.
Wait, I have a question.
Yes. Wait,
so the first 60 tells us that we have to give a 60th of the Bikurim. Mm-hmm. What about the second 60?
That's the reason why it repeats itself, in order to tell you. The real reason for 60 and 60 is for the 120. But to repeat it in the same word twice, 60 within the word, and 60 within the trup, within the Nekudos, it's supposed to tell you it's Dafka 60th. That's what you're supposed to give. Now, to add on to that a little bit, did you know there's one letter that's missing in this entire parsha of Bikurim? Anybody want to guess what letter that is?
Samach.
Samach. It's a Samach that's missing in this. Why the Samach? Again, says the Baal HaTurim, it's because it's trying to tell you there's a 60th or whatever. There's a Samach over there. What does Samach teach you? Come on, there's a remez about the Samach somewhere. Anybody remember? Where there's no Samach until... Yes, Samach HaShem L'chol, no film, that's definitely out there. But the first Samach appears by... Anybody remember? We're coming up to it soon. In Bereishis. Anyone know the first Samach in Bereishis is written by where? By Yizkor Hashem Ba'ado. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Isha, took the woman, out of Adam Rishon's rib, the first Samach is by Yizkor Hashem Ba'ado. Hashem closed it back up. Says the Rush, Once the samach was taken out, the samach, it was there. So matzah, just like the nivres ha'isha, when the woman was born, nivres ha'satan with her. The satan was born with that woman. Then the samach stands for the satan. And I realize the satan is written as a sin, tasnun and everything like that. The malach ha'mavis was. But the satan being able to destroy comes with the isha. Comes with the isha. Says the rush right over there in that spot. I saw it once when I was learning in the middle of Shabbos. I laughed out loud. My wife said, "What did you just see?" I'm like, "Nothing, nothing. I don't know, nothing." It says, "Hu hayetzer hara, hu amalach hamaves, hu asatan, hu aisha." The malach hamaves is the yetzer hara. It is the satan, and it's also the woman. All of them go together. All together. They all go together all at once. The shot behind, yeah, I didn't say it all out. Well, she found it because later on she looked up behind me. She's like, "What did that say?" So either way, regardless, that's for you, Rich. But either way, regardless, what's with the samach for the satan? What about why a samach? Because you think about it, the satan doesn't even have a samach inside it. It's a sin. What about the test and the nun? Why is the samach the thing that represents the satan? So there's a notes of a Bala Turin, lashon of smicha, of relying on something. In order to beat the satan, you know what you need? Somei Hashem lechalanoflan. To be somech on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the only way you're going to be able to beat him. And the somech is the letter of samach. That's the idea behind samach. To be able to be somech on HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to beat him. And by the way, that's the idea of getting around a woman as well. Gotta be somech on HaKadosh Baruch Hu to get around the Isha and all our traps and all the evil things that she does. In order to do that, you know, there's so many Hashem Lechol Nofim. It's all good. It's going online. It's all fine. That's the idea. To add on, there's another word that I don't know if Revolson says it over here, but it's a famous thing. It's brought down that the shot behind Sameach, to be happy. The idea behind Sameach is also the idea of Somech, to be Somech on something. I realize Sameach is Sin Memches. But according to Ibn Ezra, you're allowed to say that words that sound alike are also, meaning things that sound alike, even though they're not written the same way, they can still have a sheikhus to one another. So simcha has to do with smicha, of being so mech on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The reason why you're so happy is because you're so mech on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you're close to Him, and therefore you're happy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you at all times. He says because of that, he goes into it a little bit, and he says that's the reason why people are sad. When people are sad, it's the word atzev. Sad is also the lashon of azav, to be forsaken by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Atzev and azav is the same shoresh, that you're forsaken by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the reason why you're sad. However, no matter how bitter you are, merirus is the lashon of mar. What is mar?
Bitter.
Not only bitter, it also means master. You always have a master over you. So you're happy. Even though you're bitter, still you have a master over you. And that's why nishbar, also broken, is lashon of shever. Yesh shever ben Mitzrayim. There's always something, there's food in Mitzrayim. There's something out there in Mitzrayim. There's always something to rely on. That's the idea behind it. But that's the idea behind the tenet as well. Okay, that's the samach, and we'll go into that a little bit later. Rami Oviravi, you want to hear the best vort in the world? There's no better vort than this. There's no better vort than this. Satmar Rav says this over. I heard this originally from a guy named Effie Goldman. Guy's a genius, unbelievable person. Gave a shiur on basis well when I was first there, my first and second year. Unbelievable genius. He gave up with this fort from the Satmar Rav. Never heard anything like it before in my life. Pasuk says, Arami Ovid Avi by Yerid Mitzrayim. We say it every Pesach. You should recognize it from Pesach. Arami Ovid Avi. The trickster, Lavan, made my father lose out in Pasuk A by Yerid Mitzrayim. He went down to Mitzrayim. Yaakov went down to Mitzrayim. What is the connection between Lavan and everybody going down to Egypt? What's the connection? Lavan tried to trick Yaakov, so they went down to Egypt? That's not true. Lavan tried to trick Yaakov, so Yaakov left and went to Eretz Yisrael. He didn't go down to Egypt. So what's the connection? Tzitz Eliezer gives a quick answer. He just says that Lavan is really Bilam. Lavan and Bilam are the same person. So that says Lavan is Bilam?
No, it says something else. He tried to destroy everything.
Yeah, he tried to destroy everything. Yes, 100%. But this specific word, he says, why it says Bayerid Mitzrayim? He says, Arami Ovid Avi, that Lavan tried tricking my father, tried to make my father be destroyed by going down to Mitzrayim. He went down to Mitzrayim and became Bilam. And we know there were three advisors to Paro. Three advisors were Bilam, Iuv, and Yisro. And Bilam tried to kill all the Jews. Bilam said, drown all the Jews. I'm sorry?
Is it like basically you an answer or something?
So then Tzitz Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer Waldenberg gives a quick answer. He just says that the pshat is that Arami Ovid Avi, Lavan wanted to destroy my father by going down to Mitzrayim, Vayerid Mitzrayim, and he went down to Mitzrayim. Not that the Jews went down to Mitzrayim, and Lavan himself went down to Mitzrayim to become Bilam, and that's how he tried to destroy the Jews. That's how he learns up that vort over there. That's a nice little vort. But Samarov kills it. Samarov kills it. There's nothing like this vort. What's in this vort? What did Lavan try to do to Yaakov Avinu? What did he try to do?
Destroy.
How did he try to destroy him? By doing what? By taking away his... By doing what? So all we know about Lavan trying to do was he took away his sheep. took away his sheep, right? Unbelievable what happened over here. He made my father lose out in money. Why? Because Lavan went up to Yaakov and said, okay, you can get sheep. You can have all the spotted ones. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He made sure that all the sheep that were born were spotted. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Lavan said, okay, I'm taking all the spotted. You get all the striped. So all the sheep that were born striped. He said, all right, I'm getting all the striped. You get all the brown ones. So all the sheep that were born were? They were yellow. They were brown. They were all brown. They were all born brown. And everything ended up going over to Yaakov. And Yaakov was able to grab all these sheep. He was able to get everything from Lavan, right? Those sheep were born from something that Yaakov did. There's a pasuk in the Torah that Yaakov took a stick, stuck it inside the water. He carved a certain thing, put it inside the water. The sheep drank from that water, and according to the Medrash, they were able, that water went inside them and impregnated them. Because it came to the point where Lavan told him, I'm getting all the males, you get all the females. Let's see how you do it now. You went ahead and told Yaakov, I'm getting all the males, you're getting all the females, how are you going to give birth to any sheep? So the female sheep would go to the water, drink out of the water, be impregnated by that water, and give birth to sheep, and Yaakov was able to have this whole flock of sheep that just came from that water. Now there's a halacha when it comes to shechita. It's mentioned in Chulin that if an animal is on the ground, it requires two simanim shechita. You need two simanim shechita that's both the esophagus and the windpipe. A bird in the air, because it's in the air, it only requires one simanim shechita, and you have to do either one. It's either one. A fish in the sea requires none at all, no shechita at all. You can pick it up and technically you can eat it whole, if not for baltashaksa, that's disgusting. You go ahead and eat it whole. There's no problem of Abram and Achai when it comes to eating those fish. Okay, you don't want to, but you could, in theory, without any halakhic problems, you would be able to eat them. These sheep were water sheep. Since they came from the water, it was mutter for them to be eaten even while they were still alive without being shechted. These sheep later on became a flock that Bnei Yisrael, the Shvatim, were watching over in the Midbar. Yosef and the Shvatim got into a fight. Yosef saw them eating Abram and Achai. Said, Yosef, you guys can't do that. Said the Shvatim, it's water sheep. We're allowed to eat Abram and Achai from the water sheep. Said, Yosef, you have to worry about Marisayan and this and that. Said the Shvatim, no way, we don't have to worry about such things. Why should we have to worry about it? They get into the massive fight, and Yosef was sold down to Mitzrayim. So because originally a Rami Obed Avi, Lavan tricked my father, and I got those water sheep, Vayered Mitzrayim. The end off was that Yosef ended up getting sold to Mitzrayim, and we followed him, and everybody went down to Mitzrayim. Wow. That's the Shvatim. That's a Rami Obed Avi, Vayered Mitzrayim. That's a connection. Cool. Is that an unbelievable board? Cool. Samarov says it. No, unbelievable. One of my favorite boards out there. Yalka Ruveni adds on to the board. Lavan, you should know, his machlokes of Lavan was Bilam. Yonas ben Uziel says it. It's brought down by a couple of portion, but it seems from the Gemara in what's it called, in Sanhedrin and Kufches, that Lavan was not Bilam. That they're different people. Lavan and Bilam were different people. Lavan was the grandfather of Bilam, maybe the father of Bilam. Machlokes. But it seems that he's the grandfather of the father of Bilam. Says Yalka Ruveni, Lavan was three times greater. I don't know why he chooses three, but he says three times greater than Bilam when it came to Shadim, when it came to Kishuv, when it came to Koch HaZatuma. Three times greater when it came to all those things. He had the Koach of Shor and Chamor. He had the Koach of the donkey and the ax. And he had the Tuma. This is Lavan. Lavan had the Koach of the Shor and the Chamor. And what he wanted to do with these sheep is he wanted not only to get the Shor and the Chamor, he wanted to take the Tzon away as well. So he would have the Shor, the Chamor, and Tzon, we know, is not only sheep, it's also goats. He wanted to take the Tzon as well, to take all the domestic animals and put it on his side, on the side of Tuma. He wanted to put it on the side of Tuma. That was Lavan's idea. And by that, Arami Ovid Avi, he was going to destroy Yaakov Avinu by taking all the Kochas HaTuma, putting them all together and destroy all the Kedusha of Yaakov Avinu. That was the idea behind what he wanted to do. He didn't destroy Yaakov, but that's a Pella. It's a Pella that he wasn't able to, that Yaakov Avinu was strong enough to be able to go up against him. But Yaakov Avinu had his chus because he was an Ish Tam. And Ish Tam means he was Ish Tamimus. The pasuk says, Tomim Tia Im Hashem Elokecha. Don't do magic. Be perfect with Hashem your God. Don't allow yourself to do any magic. By allowing himself to be a Tumim, not going near magic whatsoever. And by the way, one of the reasons why Esav was so well known to Yitzchak, to be a Baal Nevuah and whatever, is because Esav was into magic. Of course he knew the future. Esav, Yitzchak thought, there's no way he's into Tumah or anything like that. So he thought that the reason why he was telling him the future is because he had Ruach HaKodesh. He was a Navi. He was wrong. It was through Kochas Atuma. That's one of the things. Yaakov Avinu was an Ish Tam, Tamim Tia. He was away completely. And through that Schus, we were able to Vayered Mitzrayim. We were able to go down to Mitzrayim and be perfectly fine. Even though it was the land of Tuma, the land of Kishuv, you'd think, as Jews. Aren't we excited by hearing about these Shadim stuff? I remember telling over a kid, and this kid was like, teach me magic, Rabbi Zimmerman. Teach me magic, please. I remember this one little kid, he was a kid in high school, and I'm like, shut up. Just stop it. Just stop it. We're excited by magic. We're excited by all that stuff. Can you imagine what the Jews were? They were in the land of Harry Potter. They were in, what's that place called? I forgot what the castle is called. Hogwarts. They were in Hogwarts. They could learn everything out there. They could have learned all the Tuma, all the Kishuv, everything they ever could have wanted in the world. They could have gotten in Mitzrayim. And more than that, how in the world did the Jews survive and not bring that Kishuv with them? You know what the answer is? Tamim Tia Neshem Alekecha. Because they had the skos of Yaakovinu. Just like Yaakovinu never went anywhere near magic, so too we had the skos to not go anywhere near magic, not to have the desire to go into magic. But Lavan wanted to fight him. Thus, Arami Ovidavi, Lavan fought my father with magic. Vayered Mitzrayim. Therefore, because Yaakovinu was able to beat him, we were able to go down Mitzrayim and be safe. Now, to add on one little thing, Yaakov was thus Zocha to get back everything. He got the tzon, right? We know he got the tzon. He got the sheep and kept them for himself. He also had a shor and a chamor. Who's the shor and who's the chamor? Yosef Atzadik was the shor, and the chamor was Yisachar. Yisachar is known as the chamor. Yisachar was the chamor. He got a shor and a chamor of Kedusha. He's able to take away the shor and the chamor of Tuma and make it into a shor and chamor of Kedusha. Unbelievable stuff happening over here. Unbelievable stuff. Okay. I'm going to have to say the Bas Bechol stuff over here. All right, there's a Gemara in Tainus. Rabbi Elazar Ish Bar Tosa has a crazy story. He always loved giving tzedakah. So the tzedakah collectors would never go anywhere near him. Because they knew that if they went anywhere near Rabbi Elazar Ish Bar Tosa, and Rabbi Elazar Ish Bar Tosa had money in his pockets, Rabbi Elazar Ish Bar Tosa would take all the money in his pockets and give it over to the tzedakah collectors. So whenever the tzedakah collectors would see Rabbi Elazar Ish Bar Tosa, they would run away from him. They'd run the other way. So one time, Rabbi Elazar Ish Bar Tosa was walking in the street. He was walking in the street, and the tzedakah collectors saw him. They're like, oh, crud! Start running around the corner. But Rabbi Elazar Ish Bar Tosa was fast. He ran after them and caught them. So what mitzvah are you guys collecting for right now? They said, Pidyon Shvuyim. Rabbi Elazar Ish Bar Tosa had just gotten money for his daughter's dowry. He was putting it down for his daughter's dowry. His wife had just given it to him and said, go put it in a certain place, you know, go buy something so we can give it over to the person so that they'll be able to live happily for the rest of their life. So he had thousands of dollars in his pocket. So he went up to them and said, what are you doing? He said, Pidyon Shvuyim. Took out all the money in his pocket that he's going to give to his daughter, gave it all to the people, and said, here's for Pidyon Shvuyim. So then the tzedakah collectors didn't know what to do. This obviously answered all their problems. They're like, all right, thank you, Rabbi Elazar Ish Bar Tosa. We appreciate that. We won't run away from you next time. Elazar Ish Bar Tosa went home. So I said, what are you going to do? He said, don't worry. I have one coin left. He took that one coin, and he went and he bought wheat in the marketplace. Took the wheat, and he brought it home. And his wife said, he did it before he went home. I'm sorry, before he went home, because he didn't want his wife to be mad at him. He had one coin left in his pocket, went to buy wheat, and he bought wheat, bought that certain wheat, and put it inside the storage house. So his wife said to him, he sat down to learn. His wife came up to him later and said, where's the dowry? What do we get for the dowry? You know, where's all the money? So Rabbi Elazar Ish Bar Tosa said, I put in the storage house. They went to the storage house and they looked, and the daughter saw it was overflowing with grain. The whole thing was about to burst full of the grain that was inside it, that it had grown, you know, all over the place, and it started spurting out from all the place, and it was kept going. It just kept going and going and going. The miracle kept going. They saw more and more wheat being formed. She ran back and told her father, thank you so much. I can't believe this happened. Rabbi Elazar Ish Bar Tosa said, wait a second, I thought you were going to be PO'd. What happened? You know, what happened over here? So she told him, no, there's a whole thing full of wheat. He said, Usher, we can't have it. And he took it all, and he gave it all to Aniyim. He wouldn't do it. Why? Because Ein Nenin, from a Maisa Nisim. You can't get any benefit from Maisa Nisim, from crazy miracles. Now the question is, wait a second. Are you really not allowed together? What about, I mean, forget about all that, Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu and Navi, you have a straight out case where Eliyahu and Navi and Elisha did the same thing. Let's go with Elisha and the Tsarfati woman, right? She had the thing full of oil. And they took all the kalim and they put it out in the house, and she kept pouring, went all over the place. And they went ahead and they used that stuff. And that kid, the kid of him, that Isha Tsarfati, whatever you want to call it, might have been Yonah, might have been Ovadia. There was a tremendous tzaddik over there. You mean to tell me that you're not allowed to use it? Then what was Elisha doing? What was Elisha bothering giving over to her if there was really nothing there to be able to be given over? What in the world was up with that? So the Ben Ish Chai says there's a big difference between the two cases. You know what the difference between the two cases are? Unbelievable. Difference is if it's able to be seen. Can you see the miracle with your own eyes or not? By the wheat being grown, it was very makir. It was very out there in the open and everybody was able to see it. Then you can't be nenin from mice and nisim. You're not allowed to have the miracle work for you. If you're directly benefiting from something that people saw as a miracle, that's a problem. I don't mean benefiting as there's a miracle that happened to you, like you said, at Yitzias Mitzrayim. I mean like food that formed from you, that's going to be a problem. But if it's something that's hidden that nobody would know about, like in front of that thing, they closed all the doors and they poured the thing and you couldn't see how much oil was left. You have no idea that there was, maybe the oil was just really, really compressed inside there. I don't know.
Why don't they just move all the grain?
What? Move all the grain all over, but that's not what happened. And that's why he said, no, it's too out in the open. But by the Isha Tsarfati, it was fine. And that's why the Baba Sali as well. Baba Sali was able to keep pouring for everybody because nobody could see how much was left in the bottle. Baba Sali was able to pour for everybody in the room. And everybody could drink and everybody could make a bracha on it because it wasn't a mice and nace that was out there. Why do I bring this all up before you ask? Why do I bring this all up? Because there's a pasuk when it comes to the brachos. The brachos says, when you start off the brachos, Yitzad Hashem Yitcha Es HaBracha Ba'asamecha. Where is it? Right over here in Pasuk Ches, in Perek Chav Ches, Pasuk Ches. Yitzad Hashem Yitcha Es HaBracha. Hashem should give you all the bracha ba'asamecha in your granaries. So you'd ask, wait a second, if it's in my granaries, I'm going to have to worry. It's going to be very nicker. It's going to be very recognizable. People are going to know, and I'm never going to be able to benefit from it because it's my sinisim. If Hashem's sending me the bracha and there's going to be extra wheat there, it's going to be very recognizable. It's going to be bad. Uvechol Mishlach Yodecha. The way it should work is, every time you go in, you take stuff out, that stuff should automatically refill itself back in. Don't make it overflowing, where it's flowing outside and people realize there's a crazy miracle going on here. Don't let it be that way. Let it be that every time I go and I take some wheat out, the wheat replenishes itself. Every time I take money out of the bank account, let the money somehow replenish itself. Let it somehow be that way. You hear these crazy stories of people in Israel who go ahead and they never look at their bank statement. They never look at their bank statement, yet somehow there's always money there. That's the basic idea. So always allow yourself to never look, never see that there's something there. Then it's private, and by doing that, then you can. Yeah, the bankers, whatever you want to say. I don't know what you want to say. But regardless, that's what it is happening over here, and that's what a Kodesh Baruch Hu is blessing with. Bechol Mishlach Yadecha. And that's the idea. Every time you put your hand in, that there should be a miracle there, so it's not nicker. Yes?
Is this only applied by food, or is it by anything?
I want to say only by food. The Ben Ish Chai didn't specify, but he only gave examples regarding food.
Because there's a case where Elisha... that was some case where like someone got had spilling on it and a soldier came up to him.
Elisha Baal Knafayim. Right. It's mentioned in Shabbos and Daf Lama Tess, I think it is. Right. That's wrong.
Where that was a nays.
That's wrong.
Shabbos.
No, that's not no. Shabbos. It was Sukkot.
Sukkot? No, it's not Sukkot. I don't have many shots on me right now. Hold on, wait a second. Elisha Baal Knafayim, it is on Shabbos, right?
It is Shabbos.
But it's not in...
I don't know where.
It might be a Mem Zayin or Mem Tess.
Anyways, we're fine.
You know what? It might be Mem Tess. It might be Mem Tess and Aleph and Shabbos. That might be a good
one. So what about that case when he was wearing Tefillin in the
kitchen? You should know that Ben Ish Chai holds that guy was a Rasha. Elisha Baal Knafayim was a Rasha.
No. You know, okay, we're not talking about the same person then.
Yeah, we are.
No, we're not. He was wearing Tefillin.
The Ben Ish Chai holds that he's a Rasha.
Because
Usher, no, the opposite. It's Usher Gomer to take off the Tefillin. He should have been Moser Nefesh.
He never took it off the Tefillin. He should have.
Yes, he did. He took it off and it became wings in his hands. It was Usher Gomer to do that.
Oh, I thought it was Ben Ish Chai.
The Gemara gives it as an example. It's a question in the Gemara whether it was a good thing or a bad thing. Ben Ish Chai holds he's a Rasha Gomer because the halacha is that if there's a Gezeres Hashmad and you're doing a mitzvah, you have to be Moser Nefesh for that mitzvah. Elisha Baal Knafayim was somebody who had tefillin on and a Roman soldier saw him and you weren't allowed to wear tefillin. So a Roman soldier chased after him. He ran behind the thing, took off his tefillin and put it in his hands. The soldier came up to him and said, "What's in your hands?" He released it and it became doves. And the doves flew up into the air. Dove wings or whatever it is. And they gave a whole thing. He's called Elisha Baal Knafayim, the man of the wings.
Because
of
that. Why is your Russia?
The Benishai holds. His mamish a Russia.
Why is he a Russia then?
Halacha is supposed to die.
Hashem gave him that name.
Halacha is supposed to be. He's supposed to die.
So why would Hashem do it there?
Sometimes the Satan is involved. There's a whole big thing behind that. Sometimes it's the Satan that's doing these crazy things.
Why is he supposed to? And he got a cool.
Why is he supposed to die? Because it's my gzeras hashmad. And in time gzeras hashmad, if you're in the midst of doing a mitzvah, and somebody catches you, you have to go ahead and kill yourself rather than be over on that mitzvah during gzeras hashmad. When they're telling you not to do that mitzvah, certain mitzvahs that are like that.
Filling you don't have to wear all the time.
But he did all.
Yes and no. You are right in a way. However, in a time where they say you're not allowed to wear tefillin, then there is a mitzvah to wear tefillin at all times in order to go ahead and go up against them. Well, there's what to talk about with all that. I'm going to go into one more vort. There's a pasuk in the Tochacha. Unfortunately, I did not look it up beforehand. Vayisa mishuga mimarei necha shatira. Oh, got it. Pasuk lamed dalet. Vayisa mishuga mimarei necha shatira. You thought mishuga was a Yiddish word. Mishuga is right from over here. You will go crazy from the sight of your eyes that you will see. From all the things that you'll see in the world, you'll go crazy. Very apropos, says Rabbi Kiva Eger. You know what the pshat is? Asheru einecha, with your own eyes. The pshat is that, typically speaking, you always have a Rebbe. And within that, whenever you have a Rebbe, you can go up to him and say, something crazy just happened. What am I supposed to learn from all this? What am I supposed to get out of all this? What lesson can I learn from this? What am I supposed to take out of this story over here? That's why Yisuf Yishugam Rimarei Necha Shatira. You'll go crazy from the Marei Necha that you see with your own eyes. Because you don't have a Rebbe. If you don't have a Rebbe, you're not going to be able to sit there and be able to see all these things and see all these things and understand what to do with them. So you'll go crazy. What am I supposed to do with this? What am I supposed to do about that? What about all this tumor that's over here and that's over here? That's over there. What am I supposed to do with all these crazy things that are happening? Without a Rebbe, you'll never know. You'll never understand. So you'll go crazy. You'll go mishuga. That's the idea. From your eyes that you yourself will see. And if only you would have a Rebbe, then everything would be okay. But that's why the Tochacha is even doubly worse. Not only will it happen, not only will you get the shchin, you'll get the boils and the you'll get the boils and the hemorrhoids and I don't know, green eggs and ham, whatever it is that you'll get all over your body, you know, that's going to happen all over the place. You're going to also get this, you'll go crazy because you won't know what to get from it. Hurricane Katrina, Hurricane Rita, see all those crazy earthquakes that are going on in the world, to see all the crazy stuff that's happening everywhere throughout the entire world, to sit there and be like, why is this all happening? Why is global warming happening? What am I supposed to get? Without a Rebbe, of course, you go crazy. And so everybody has to come out with their own movie depicting global warming, Al Gore and whatever. They all come out. No, come on. And they have to have a picture of a polar bear on a little thing of ice in the middle of nowhere. The polar bear is lost. He'll never be able to find his way back home.
Even like Pixar movies now, they have documentaries in the beginning. Save the animals in the ocean.
Save the animals. And they have that picture of the polar bear that's flowing on a little thing of ice, as if there's no other ice around. Polar bears can't swim. You gotta love it. They're sitting there like, please save them. The idea behind it, what are you supposed to do? So they go crazy, please save them. Yeah, stop using tires. Like, whatever they say. If you have a Rebbe, that you go up to him and say, what am I supposed to do about all this? Then all of a sudden you'll be able to understand, what am I supposed to do? He'll tell you. It's a doubly crazy board. That number one, not only will the bad things happen, but you won't even understand why the bad things are happening. That's the shot behind that pasuk. All right, guys, that's the Tochacha. Have a good Shabbos.